This word, waymaker, has just been so heavy in my heart. And like Pastor Keith said, you may not have known it, but we're kind of lassoing you into some teaching. Jonathan kicked us off last week with the revelation of Jesus. Did you hear that sermon? And fill in the blanks if I miss any of these. Jesus as warrior, Jesus as ruler, Jesus as head of the church, Jesus as purifier, Jesus as right maker. That's our Jesus. That's our chain breaker. That's our way maker. If you have your Bible, my name is Deb, by the way, Pastor Deb. I'm one of the pastors here. These good-looking guys are my co-pastors, Jonathan Smith, Pastor Keith, our lead pastor that you heard from. And if you're a visitor, we're so happy that you're here. Actually, you're past the 30-minute mark, so you're not a visitor anymore. So who brought their Bible, either in electronic or print format? Okay, cool. We were talking the other day. It's funny when people are like, I read my Bible on the phone. It's like, okay, well, pull up the app and show me a scripture. And they're like, well, I don't know how to work the app. I just know it's there. Oh, man. So get out your Bible. I don't have the text on the screen on purpose because we're going to read it together. Go with me to John chapter 1. I'm going to be Baptist for a second and say, if you're there, say amen. If you're not there yet, say hold on. John chapter 1. We're going to take it kind of in chunks here. I'm going to read from the Message. Waymaker. Jesus is the way. Say that with me. Jesus is the way. And we're going to start at the beginning, go to verse 5. The Word was first. The Word present to God. God present to the Word. The Word was God in readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through Him. Nothing, not one thing came into being without Him. What came into existence was life, and the life was light to live by. The life light blazed out of the darkness. The darkness couldn't put it out. Jesus is the way. And when I say Jesus is the way, I mean like with a capital W. The way. The way for all time. Because see, you don't have to get past the first four words to hear this author say the Word was first. Our more traditional translations say what? In the beginning was the Word. The way for all time. The writer of Hebrews says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our chain breaker doesn't change. The Son of Man that was walking in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and that other dude. He's the same one. He hasn't changed. That old Nebuchadnezzar looked down in the fiery furnace and he said, are they dead yet? He's like, no, King. You're not going to believe this. And I swear I took my medicine today. But they're not dead yet. In fact, they're up and walking around. They're unbound. And didn't we throw in three? Because I swear, oh King, you're going to have my head for this. But I see four. I see four. See, when we say Jesus is the way with a capital W, that means He's the way for all time. Because tell me, wasn't He a chain breaker? Wasn't He a warrior in the lion's den with Daniel? Wasn't He a way maker for Moses wandering through the wilderness leading millions of people? What did God do? How did He lead them? Did He just let them wander out in the wilderness? What was there? There was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. See, God's always been making a way. So Jesus is the way, like with a capital W. He's the way for all time. And when we say he's the way with a capital W, he is the way for all people. The Gospel of John, as you probably know, is unique from the other Gospels. How many Gospels are there? Four Gospels. Say them with me: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are a lot the same. When they were compiled and written, they used a lot of the same sources to try and remember the stories. They kind of copied off each other. Oh, yeah, that happened, I remember. John's completely different. Matthew and Mark were written primarily to the Jewish community. So there's a lot in there where we're talking about the kingdom of God and things that the Jews would have had on their mind. Luke was a Gentile and a doctor, so his gospel, even though it contains the same stories, he uses a Greek worldview and a medical sort of acumen. He writes a lot about healing. He writes a lot about the birth of Jesus. Because if you're a medical doctor, you're real interested at how that virgin had that baby. So Luke's gospel was written really toward Greek-speaking and thinking people. Matthew and Mark were writing really to Jewish-thinking, Hebrew-speaking people. The book of John, the gospel of John, is written with this universal worldview. It's sort of open. I think that's one reason John is so accessible to us, because it's not pigeonholed into one culture or the other. If you read the letter of John, the letters of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, they so speak to me. They so apply to our churches. They so apply. And it's because he had a much wider sort of audience. And again, we don't have to go past the first four words to get a taste of this. Because if we were reading this in Greek, it wouldn't say the word, because the word is an English word. It would say the, does anybody know? The Logos. Not only was Logos a Greek word, it was a Greek idea. So John, a Jew, borrowed a Greek idea to try and wrap words around what Jesus is. See, we try it all the time. We're like, you're the breath I breathe. You're my daily bread. You're this, you're that. It's all metaphor because there are no words for God. How could there be? So we try. And this is a really cool try on John's part, I think. Because see, Logos, it's this really cool word that means word, like a spoken word. It means reason. It means plan. It means, like you said, the divine reason implicit in the cosmos, ordering it and giving it form and meaning. The divine reason. In the beginning was the divine reason. I think that's way with a capital W. Like, there's only one divine reason that orders everything and gives it form and meaning. Another thing I wanted to point out in these first five verses that just strikes me, and I think it's important. It's important. We might not understand it, but I think it's important to tell ourselves this was not a plan B. This was not God saying, oops, I messed up, now I gotta fix it. Salvation was God's idea from the beginning. Relationship was God's idea from the beginning. So when we talk about Jesus being the way with a capital W, we're talking about for all time, for all people, the divine reason that everything exists and always was supposed to be from the beginning. This is not take two. In a minute, I'm going to come back to that. because it seems hokey pokey. It seems all spiritual and mythological and metaphysical, and why would I care? So we're just going to put that on a shelf for just a second, because there's going to be a reason why we care. Why we care that Jesus is the way, the one divine reason. So we're going to move on for a second from Jesus is the way to Jesus walks the way. Say that with me. Jesus walks the way. Oh boy. Let's go real quick. We're going to keep going with John here, chapter 1, 9 to 14. The life light, capital W, the life light was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings into light. He was in the world. So we go from he made the world to he's in the world. The world was there through him, and yet the world didn't even notice. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. These are the God begotten, not blood begotten, not flesh begotten, not sex begotten. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. So here we say, see, the divine reason moving into the neighborhood. And something he does while in the neighborhood, as John says it, or as it expresses it in this message translation, is that he gave us light to live by. Just like he gave Moses a pillar of fire to walk by, Jesus has given us light to live by. So he made us, yes, and we have our breath because he said it to be so. And everything that's in the universe is being held together by Jesus. But then he moves into the neighborhood and puts on skin, and he's like, and now I'm going to show you how to live. I gave you life, and now I'm going to show you how to live. I started thinking about that, and I started thinking about, man, the inventor of all things. If you invent something, you know how it works. You know how to get the best performance out of it. You know how to maintain it. You know how to keep it clean. You know what it's used for. And we're talking about the inventor of all things, the inventor of love. If you're the inventor of love, I think you know how love's supposed to work. If you're the inventor of friendship, I think you know how friendship's supposed to work. If you're the inventor of peace, I think you know how peace is supposed to work. If you're the inventor of families, you know how families are supposed to work, right? Any Dr. Sheldon Cooper fans in the room? If you didn't raise your hand, it's from The Big Bang Theory. It's a show. Very funny. I was watching reruns with my father-in-law the other night. We were having some good quality time. He was helping Penny with her new startup business, the Penny Blossom business. Because she's like, you know all these things. You know how to, like, run a business. You know, wow, I'm so impressed. You know? And Dr. Sheldon Cooper says, Penny, I'm a physicist. I have a working knowledge of the entire universe and everything in it. Penny responds, who's Radiohead? Sheldon, after a very long pause and lots of disgruntled facial expressions, he says, I have a working knowledge of the important things in the universe. God, Jesus, the way, the one that holds everything together, the stars, the cosmos, gravity, all that stuff I don't understand. He invented it all. He invented it all. He breathed it all. He made it all. He, I believe, has a working knowledge of the entire universe and everything in it. And this is who was walking around first century Palestine, showing us how to live. We've talked about this before. He did it by incarnation, by becoming like us. He's like, I'm not just going to sit on a cloud or throne and tell you and drop some commandments in your lap. I'm going to come show you. It's kind of like, and, you know, correct me later, theologians, if this is heresy. I'm not sure. I've never heard this metaphor before. But this is just what came in my mind. It's kind of like the inventor of the machine, who is also the handle that makes it turn, going, you know what, I'm going to go be the first cog in the machine. I'm going to get this thing turning right. Jesus comes down. He shows us how it's done by being the first to do it. Paul calls this the second Adam. In Romans, Paul says Jesus was the first among many brothers and sisters. Could it be if Jesus, as the inventor of the universe and everything in it, could it be that his teachings could really build the kingdom of God among us, either on a small scale or a little scale? Could Jesus' teachings really instruct us in friendships, relationships, peace, order? Well, I'd say so, and I have been thinking about this scripture a lot. When Jesus actually ascends back to heaven after he's resurrected, and he's like, all right, and, you know, his boys are like, what are we going to do now? What exactly is our task? We've been walking around following you for, you know, some years now. What do we do? And Jesus is like, okay, here's your task. You go everywhere, and you teach them to live this way. You make disciples everywhere you go. And you baptize them. And the thing about that is that sounds great. And there's a lot of people who love Jesus as a teacher. Like, I don't know anyone in the history of ever who doesn't like Jesus as a teacher, right? No one disputes Jesus from Nazareth is a great moral teacher. No one says contrary. However, lots of people reject the notion Jesus is the way, the divine reason, the one that got it all started, the one that holds it together, the way. But see, I think here's the thing, though, is that Jesus can't just be teacher because his way of life is only possible through the new creation. If you've been with me on weekday mornings lately, we've been reading through the Sermon on the Mount, and I'll tell you, that stuff is impossible unless Jesus makes something new out of me. Which takes us back to Jesus is the way, because we find just brilliance in Jesus' moral teaching, which actually might fix the world. I don't know. I'm an optimist, so I think the world can be fixed, and I think that the way of Jesus is the way to do it. However, it's impossible to live this way without being a new kind of human, without being a new creation. And that's what the second Adam is. Paul's like, again, grasping for a metaphor. He's like, just like we see Adam as this first man, and all the other men and women look like Adam and Eve, you know. He's like, Jesus is the second Adam. A first among many brothers and sisters, the first of this new creation. Some folks consider the new creation the next step in evolution. I'm just going to put that there. I'm not really a scientist, and I don't care a whole lot about that. But if you are and you care, just know there's people who think that, and I think that's cool. Jesus cannot just be teacher, because his teaching is just, it can't happen unless we're a new kind of human, unless truly he's the second Adam, unless truly he's making a new creation. Which is why I think the Great Commission is two things. Teach them to live this way and baptize them. Do you know what baptism is a reminder of? You used to be drowning. You said drowning. You used to be drowning. You used to be dead. You used to have no kind of real life. And what Jesus has done is raise you up, and now you are something new. So when you feel drowning, when you feel like, what is this life? I can't breathe. You remember your baptism. And if you're Pentecostal, get baptized again. Lord, I've been baptized so many times. I don't have to remember my baptism. I just had one yesterday. That's the twofold thing, because it's two things. It's Jesus. He is the way, and we can't pull anything off unless we're in this way. But also there's this amazing teaching, this real change that can happen in people and families and societies even. I don't know. Again, I'm an optimist. I think Jesus can fix everything. Jesus, he will fix it for you. He'll fix it. And the Lord just is showing me so much, this Great Commission being two things. Teach them to live this way, because the world can change. But you also got to baptize them, because there's got to be this, I used to be drowning and now I'm alive. And I can only say that because Jesus has made me alive. Does it sound mysterious, spiritual, metaphysical? Relax, because it is. He's a star breather, remember? I mean, I don't care who you are, you don't understand that. Maybe Sheldon Cooper does. The hows and whys, man, sometimes that stuff is just really fun coffee talk. How am I a new creation? How does baptism mean anything? That's fun to talk about. But the who and what, that's the meat right there. The who is Jesus, and the what is that he's made us new. The redeeming, the salvation, you sang about it all morning. He's broken the chains. He's done the work. He hung on the cross and said, it's finished. Jesus is the way. Jesus walks the way. And this was a little outside the text. We're still going to read the rest of the text, but I really felt the Holy Spirit wanting me to move on to just talk about this. Jesus makes the way. It's a little less theological, a little more just encouraging, man. Just, you're going to be all right. So let's finish this text, and then we'll get into that. John 1, 16 to 18. We all live off of his generous bounty, gift after gift after gift. We got the basics from Moses, and then this exuberant giving and receiving, this endless knowing and understanding, all of this came through Jesus, the Messiah. No one has ever seen God, not so much as a glimpse. This one-of-a-kind God expression, who exists at the very heart of the Father, has made him plain as day. No one's seen God, but Jesus has made him plain as day. Say with me, Jesus makes the way. Jesus makes the way. Again, this is a little more just encouraging, because I want to remind you that God is a creative creator. I know that's redundant and it's on purpose, because I can create a pot out of some clay. It'll be ugly, but I could create a pot out of some clay. I could create a song with my guitar, but I cannot create the guitar. I cannot create the clay. And so God is not just a creator. He's a creative creator. He made everything from nothing. He's like, oh, I want to make everything. What do I have to work with? Nothing. All right, I guess we're going to make everything out of nothing. And Jesus demonstrates that same divine creativity as he walks the earth. For the examples of this, I wanted to use examples that are found in John. And all but one of these is only found in John. Feeding of the 5,000 is found in all four Gospels. It's the only miracle that's found in all four Gospels. These other ones, though, are only in John. They're only in John. And I think they are beautiful examples of the divine creativity of God being demonstrated just on the earth and in like normal things. Well, they were normal things. They became not really normal things. Because Jesus is at a party. They run out of wine. He's got water. Guess we're going to make wine out of water. Love that guy. The raising of Lazarus. There was only one option that day. Lazarus is just going to have to be alive again. All right, Lazarus, come on, buddy. And here he comes, stinking and all. The man at Bethesda. You preached about him recently. I loved that sermon. You called the sermon Divine Breakthrough. And your point wound up being, as you crafted that sermon, the divine breakthrough is in you. We're going to get there. You already went there. Because the man at Bethesda, remember, he's the guy that laid on his mat all his life. And Jesus is like, do you want to get well? And he's like, well, no one ever helps me when they stir the water. We make fun of him, but really, I mean, what else would you think? The way you get healed is you get in the water when the angel stirs it or whatever that's about, you know, mystical stuff. When the angel stirs it, there's no one to help me, and I can't help myself, and, you know, there's a problem. You know, it's like, why don't you have lemonade? Well, I don't have any lemons. How am I supposed to make lemonade? Right? I mean, you get healed by getting in the water. I can't get in the water. Jesus, with divine creativity, goes, yeah, we don't need the water. Just get up. Okay. And he got up. And he took his mat. He's like, didn't need the water. Big waste of my life here. But I love the creativity in that. Any artists or parents? Any parents? You ain't got two matching socks? Yeah, you're going to wear two unmatching socks. We're going to make it work. That's creativity. Any creative cooks, like those people that they've got a can of sardines and some mustard and an old strawberry pound cake. Do y'all watch Guy's Grocery Doodad thing? Tom has us into all this TV now. Where he gives them this crazy list, or Chopped, where they get the box, and they have to open the box, and they have to use those ingredients to make something. God is so good at that. God turns broken homes into families, like every day. God turns heartache literally into blessing. Literally into, you look back on that thing and go, I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade it. And Isaiah prophesied that God would give them beauty in exchange for ashes. He's like, give me your spirit of despair and I'll give you, ding, 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 a garment of praise. And I have to believe that because there are so many instances, I mean, you could talk all day long about God being the master of Chopped, you know, in life, like Chopped Life Edition. There's so many examples, and Jesus is all the time taking these bundles of just messed up lives and turning it into something great. I'm looking at a room full of messed up lives that God has redeemed and made something great. I have to believe because we see it so much that it's super important, that it's super essential to who we need to understand God to be. And I think the reason we need to understand that to be is because so many times life gives us a box of just weird, chopped up stuff. Like every day something turns out not the way you thought it would. Right? The man born blind. I didn't realize John's the only place that it was recorded. Man born blind comes to Jesus, you know, have mercy on me, son of David. The guy didn't know what was happening because he couldn't see, but Jesus reached down and got some dirt and spit in it and rubbed it on his eyes. He healed other blind people and didn't do that. This is not the only blind man he healed, but this guy, he's like, yeah, I'm just going to spit on some dirt. I don't know the real, like, bottom line reason for that or why that's recorded or why it's important that we know that, but how that speaks to me, A, is because God does things differently each time. Like, just because he did it this way over here doesn't mean he's going to do it the same way over here. You know, Jesus healed one blind guy and just, you know, said be healed. He healed another blind guy by making a mud patty. So sometimes we pigeonhole God into how he's going to do something. I've done it today 5 times already. And we get disappointed when it doesn't happen that way. Or maybe we don't even recognize God has already answered our prayer. But it's not in the package we expected, so we don't, it's like, whew. So I don't know the deep theological, biblical scholar reason why we know about the spit guy, but I'll tell you, it encourages me to no end to know that just because Jesus does it one way over here doesn't mean it's got to be the same exact thing over here. And that's creativity. If you told me to draw a parrot 5 times, I would probably draw it the same exact way 5 times because I'm not like a artist like that. Ryan, if you had an assignment to draw 5 different pictures of parrots, I would bet $1,000 that they would not be the same. You're not going to sit there and draw 5 things just the same. He's an artist. He's a drawy artist. He's got the skills to make 5 different parrots in, you know, in ways I never would have even thought to. He's got the skill that he doesn't have to do things the same way. We're talking about the breather of galaxies. He doesn't have to do things the same way every time. And I'm disappointed when I expect him to. The huge catch of fish. I had never thought about this. And I'll be honest, it's a long time since I've read this story. Where Jesus is out, you know, with the fishermen. And they have fished all night. All night. And they haven't caught anything. And that sounds frustrating because, you know, fishing, you want to catch something. But this was their livelihood. This was like if their children were going to eat maybe for the next month. I don't know. They fished all night. They're exhausted. They're pulling up their nets. Oh. And Jesus is like, hey, why don't y'all try to just put them on the other side? Jesus. That's really cute, but you know, you're a carpenter, we're fishermen. Do you think really if it was that simple, we would have been out here all night without catching anything? And Jesus is like, just try it. This reminds me of me at work. Sometimes I'm like, there is no way that's going to work. Christina's like, just try it. Don't tell her I said that because she's right all the time. Scratch that from the podcast. She's always right. Jesus is like, just try it. And they're like, plop. And they catch so many fish, it almost takes their whole ship under. They have to call another boat to help them load in this enormous catch of fish. Sometimes Jesus is just like, try it this way. And these are funny, you know, these are funny to kind of look at from the outside. I bet your own stories are kind of funny to look at in hindsight too, right?
Yes.
They're not funny in the moment. When you're exhausted and you haven't caught a fish all night, that's not funny. That's not cute. When you're blind since birth, that's not funny. When you have laid for 24 years or however old that guy was, waiting, hoping, and nothing ever happens, that's not cute and that's not fun. But these stories, I don't know about you, but they encourage me that God is our refuge, like the psalmist said, and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. The same God that breathes galaxies, the same Jesus that turned water into wine, the same Jesus that never does things the same way twice. I'm sure he does, but doesn't always do things the same way twice. The same Jesus that doesn't need a healing pool to bring forth a healing. Because of the new creation, let's take it all the way back to the first capital W, because of the new creation is living. Divine creativity is demonstrated in our lives. And I know you could tell me 1,000 stories from your own life. This one. The divine reason, the one who holds everything together, is the one who walks with you and talks with you and lives in you. And he's not just one of those things. He's all of those things. Because he's only that ever-present help if he's ever-present. He can only be ever-present because of the new creation, because of what Jesus has done. Just like Loida said during worship, if there's something you feel like you can't walk away from, the waymaker lives inside you. The chain breaker has already done his part. If you're like, Jesus is a great moral teacher, but I don't know about all of this indwelling stuff, or I don't know about all of this eternal word stuff. We talk about the word believe a lot. We love to make formulas about, how to believe or what that means, or because it's so hard. It's so hard to figure it out and put words around. It's impossible. It's really impossible. I get it. But I also get you can't pull off Jesus's brilliant teaching until you let Jesus make you a new creation.